Turn to Ephesians 4. And last week we talked about some of the things how Christians didn't learn Christ in a way like the Gentiles, being ignorant and hardness of heart. And he talks about the laying aside the old self, which is being corrupted, being renewed in the spirit of the mind. And we talked about, you know, what that kind of looks like a little bit there. They were renewed in our mind, where the Holy Spirit is helping us do that. And that's how even part of being saved is that we're saved by the washing of regeneration, which is our sins washed away, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which is helping us. Brandon hit a little bit this morning, repenting or changing our mind. We think of repentance as something that happens like prior to someone becoming a Christian, but it is true, but a lot of repenting continues after. Repenting is changing one's mind, and so we're renewing our mind to be conformed to the image of Christ, or think like him and become conformed to his character. And so, and it kind of continues on in verse 24. Someone read verse 24, please.
Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth.
Okay, so put on the new self. Now, that word for self, the Greek word, actually means man. Okay, and it's translated man quite a bit. If you look at in the Greek and kind of some of those recaps and stuff and your concordance. But so really what he's saying is put on the new man, as opposed in verse 22, the word for self there again, when it says lay aside the old self, that word for self is the same Greek word. So he's saying lay aside the old man. Okay, and so he, again, talking spiritually here, lay aside the old man, but put on the new man. And what he's saying that there is, so there's something that's a change there. It's not just, it is a change, but it's not a physical change necessarily, because we're still the same person physically. There's nothing that they got healed physically by becoming a Christian, but it's the dying of the old self spiritually, of the old man, and putting on the new man. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And so I want to read verse 3 through 7 of Romans chapter 6. Yes, please. Through 7, please.
Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin.
Okay, so you see in verse 6 the phrase old self. Now, that word for self there, again, is the same Greek word, which actually should be man. It could be translated man, or translated man in a lot of times it's translated man. So knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So we're buried with him in immersion. We're raised up to walk in newness of life. When we're buried with him in immersion, our old man has been crucified with him and has been done away with, he says in verse 6, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So that old man has something to do with being a slave to sin or not, or being a slave to sin, and a new man has something to do with not being a slave to sin. And so when we're looking at that, again, spiritually speaking there, the old man is dying, but the new man is being put on. Yes, in immersion, that's when the new man was put on, but we have to continue to feed the new man, if you will, not the old man. If we're going to feed someone, we're going to feed the old man or the new man, and that's who's going to live. And so that's where we have to make a conscious effort there on who we feed. Turn back to Ephesians 4 again. And so in verse 24, we have the Greek word in. So when it says, put on the new man, and how it's translated in the New American Standard, it says, which in the likeness of God has been created. But actually the word for the likeness of is in italics. It's actually not in the Greek, Greek there. So what it says there, the words we have, which in God has been created. Now that word for in there, which is translated in the New American Standard Bible, actually means down from. Okay, so he could say down from or according to or against. It just depends on the context of how it's translated there. So if you were to take that and say, put on the new man, which down from God has been created. So the new man comes from God. So that the new person comes down from heaven, if you will. Another way to say that. Now let's turn to John, Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to touch pretty close to what we touched on this morning. To a spot where we were this morning in the Lord's Supper. But in chapter 3, read 7 or 3 through 7, please. Okay, so we're looking here at in verse 3 and in verse 7, the word again. Now, that word actually shouldn't be translated again. That word actually means down from above. It's the same word, it's not the same word, but the same idea as the word when it says put on the new self, which down from God is created. This word here means from above. Okay, so really what he's saying is that unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. Okay, and so what he's saying there, again, in verse 5, he says, unless one's born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what the second birth of being that born from above has to consist of, if you would physically, that process there, that obedience, not because it's a physical act that we check off the list or that we follow because it's just the law, but because of obedience of heart, that we're physically born of water and of the Spirit. We're immersed in the water. We rise up and walk in newness of life. We're buried with Him and immersed. We die to the old man. The old man's crucified. We resurrect and walk in newness of life. We're born from above. Or the term born again is commonly used, but actually it's meaning born from above. And so if you look in verse 31 of John chapter 3, this actually, the word is used again here. John here, we read a little bit this morning. John is talking about Jesus here. And in verse 31, he says, he who comes from above is above all. And he who is of the earth is from the earth, and he who speaks from earth, he speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And so Jesus here, he says, he who comes from above. Now, no one's going to argue that Jesus didn't come from above. That word from above there is the same word that's translated in verse 3 and 7 as again. Now, if you were to look up in a concordance, in the New American Standard Concordance, for example, and you would look up the word again, in the New Testament, every time the word again is translated in the New American Standard, it's of the same exact Greek word except for these two times. Okay, and really, if you would take these two times out, then you would, if they were translated from above, and you would have in the New American Standard translation, if you would, for example, and you would have every word that's translated again would be the exact same word if we would translate this word correctly. Okay, so this is the only time that this word is translated again. It's not the same Greek word as the normal translate. If you would translate it normally and say something again, it wouldn't be it's not the common Greek word used for it. This word actually means, like we've mentioned, from above. So the idea there again with the putting on the new self comes from God, which is created. That's what he says in Ephesians 4 there. Jesus says, unless you are born from above, you cannot be a part of the kingdom. Okay? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Someone want to read verse 20, please.
For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so our citizenship is in heaven. So when he talks about that, when we talk about citizenship, when we're citizens of the United States because we were born in the United States. We're citizens of whatever, Canada. If someone's a citizen of Canada, they're born. And there's been provisions made physically by nations to allow people to become citizens other ways besides being born. But when we're talking about being citizens of heaven, the way that happens is we have to be born there. And that makes sense what Jesus says, unless you are born from above, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And that being born from above consists of being born of water and of the Spirit. Okay, and that would be the same as we turn back to Ephesians 4, the verse that we're looking at, when he says, and put on the new man, which is comes down from God, has been created, if that would be translated probably a little bit more accurately there. It says, put on the new man, which down from God has been created. Because that has come, that new person has been born from above, has come down, and again, that's us spiritually being born from above, but has come down. The old man has died. We've crucified the old man, and we have put on the new man. Okay, we put on the new person, the new heart, if you will. And so that has come from above. And that goes even to what, James uses that word, this word that's translated being born again, but it should be above. He talks about that all good things come from above. Nothing good comes from earth. And so the good thing that came from above, that's the new man has to come from above, has to be born from above. That's how we're citizens of heaven, is we have to be born from heaven, spiritually, obviously speaking there. It's a spiritual birth that we're born, we've crucified the old self, and our new man has come from above, or been born from above. And so that's what he's saying there, is that we're putting on that new person, which is down from God. Now, granted that, we're going to get into a little bit. I don't totally disagree with the idea that it's in the likeness of God, because that is what we'll see here in a second. But we need to first understand that we are born from above first, and then we can go into scripture that talks about, okay, what does it look like? What does that consist of then? And we're going to see a little bit more here later that it's in the likeness of God. Anybody have any comments before we move on past here? So the next one then, if we look in verse 24, the word for put, so put on the new self. And that Greek word for put actually means to put on or to clothe. So he really could say, and to be clothed with the new man, which comes down from God, has been created in righteousness and in holiness of truth. So he's actually saying being clothed with the new man. This Greek word is actually, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Same Greek word used here. Galatians And Brandon, you want to read verse 27?
For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ.
Okay, so that Greek word for clothed there is the same Greek word that's translated put in Ephesians 4, verse 24. So put on the new self, or clothe yourself, be clothed with the new man, is what he's saying. And so if you look at that Greek word and we can compare it and put it alongside Galatians 3:27, all of us who have been immersed into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Okay, that new man comes from above, is born from above. Okay, we're citizens of heaven because we're born from above. We've crucified the old man. We're born from above when we're born of water and of the Spirit, or immersed in water. Our sins are forgiven, and the Spirit comes and lives within us and gives us life. And we'll get to that in a little bit more in a second in detail here. But we're clothed with Christ. The new man, everything good comes from above. The new man is clothed from above, from that which comes from above. Okay, we're born from above, so or we're clothed with Christ. Okay, so that's giving us a picture there of what this new person or this new heart is. It's something that's, we're clothed with Christ. It's putting on Christ's character, and we're going to continue to develop that. All right, turn back to Ephesians 4, or actually, no, Romans 13, sorry, Romans 13. Romans 13. Someone read verse 12 through 14, please.
The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and not in sexuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust.
Okay, so put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul. When we were immersed, we put on Christ. The new man was born. The old man died. The new man was born. We put on the new man. But as the same thing, as repentance was necessary prior to becoming a Christian, or even at the time of becoming a Christian, repentance is still necessary for us after being renewed. We're still being renewed in our mind, and that conscious effort of feeding the new man. You know, we're continually, I'm not saying that we have to continually get immersed to put on the new person, but the point is, what he's saying here is that Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, in the book of Romans here. Paul is writing to Christians in the book of Ephesians, and as we'll see in a little bit here, Paul is writing to Christians in the book of Colossians, and we'll get to that in a second. But he's writing to Christians who have already been immersed, who have already had the new man, put on the new man. But there still seems to be that there has to be this constant effort to feed the new man and continue to put him on, if you will. That is, to continue to make that effort to put on the character of Christ and to be like Christ. Continue to be renewed in our minds to be like Christ, to look like him, if you will, spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually. So we're being clothed with Christ, or putting on that new man which comes from above, because we're born from above, that is good, and we're citizens of heaven because of that, because we have been born from above and put on that new man. I turn back to Ephesians 4. So we've put on the new man, or put on Christ, when we are born of water and of the Spirit, or immersed into Christ, which comes down from above, because we are born from above, which makes us citizens of heaven, which everything good comes from above, which makes sense why it's the image that we're pictured, that we're putting on Christ, because that's who it is. And this is going to go on to this next point, the word for created, because it says, which from above, from God, has been created. Okay, so this new man had to be created. This new heart had to be created. So the new man is created. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Someone wants to read that, please.
17?
Yes, please.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Okay, so again, this puzzle piece here, if you will, fits together quite nicely again. So we're talking about being in Christ. Well, Galatians, Paul writes about being immersed into Christ. Okay, we're in the body of Christ, but he said if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Okay, we have been created new if we're in Christ. The old things have passed away, or the old man has died, and we're continuing to put him to death. Day by day, we are continually being renewed. But the new things have come. The new man has come alive. The new man has resurrected. We have died to Christ, died with Christ, died to our old man. We crucified him, and the body of sin is done away with. But we resurrected to walk in newness of life, and we are freed from sin because we are a new creature. We've been created new. We have been clothed with Christ. We look like Christ. And so turn over to Colossians chapter 3 then. And this is the book of in Colossians here, Paul continues and adds a little bit more. This actually is where probably why the translation in Ephesians is talks about in the likeness of God, which, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that view, because Colossians actually talks about this here. But as we mentioned before, we need to make sure we can get all the picture, because the Ephesians, when he talks about that, he's talking about coming from above. Well, this will make sense why this has to come from above, why this new birth has to come from above. Verse 10, actually 9 and 10, if someone wants to read it, Colossians 3, 9 and 10, please. Okay, so we see there that the old self, or the Greek word self, should be translated man. We have laid aside the old man and have put on or clothed ourselves with the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we're talking about, like in Ephesians, we have been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. This new man that we have, that's from above, has been created. And so we see here that this here says we are renewed to a true knowledge according to the image. We are like the image of the one who created him. Again, which makes sense that it's that we've put on Christ then, the one who created us spiritually. The new creature is Christ. We've put him on. Turn back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to look at a little bit of a foreshadow here of this new creation. Genesis 5. Someone read verse 1, please. So God made man in the likeness of God, or you could say in the image of God, or according to the image of God. So when God created man physically, he made him in the likeness. Now turn back to Genesis 2. So we know that God made man in the likeness of God. Turn to verse 7 of Genesis 2. Someone read that, please. Okay, so physical creation, Adam was created, but he didn't come to life until God breathed into him, or the Spirit came into him. Okay, so if you think of that, if physical man and was created in the likeness of God, and the likeness wasn't wasn't a likeness until Adam wasn't living until God breathed into him or the Spirit came into him. I'm not saying that it was the Holy Spirit that stayed like us we have today that helps us, but he has physical life was given because the Spirit went into him. Okay, so turn to Romans chapter 8. So going on the notion here again that we have been, our new creature, our new self, has been created in the likeness of God. And that creation, if you will, that man wasn't created until the Spirit came in. Romans chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 9. Okay, so there's two, spiritually speaking, there's two ways. There's flesh and there's spirit. Flesh is death. Flesh leads to death. Spirit leads to life. But he says, however, you are not of the flesh. You are not of the death. You are not of a dead person. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that's what he's saying there. So we talk about the new creature. Just as the physical creation foreshadowed, is that Adam was just a being, was a body until the Spirit entered into him, until God breathed into him. Now the word for spirit here can actually mean spirit, wind, or breath. Okay, and that can be translated that way. It's like the breath, the life that God entered in. So Adam was a body. So you can see that Adam, you know, God created him, God formed him in chapter 2, but then he breathed into him and he came to life. It wasn't until he was just a body laying on the ground until he actually breathed into Adam. He breathed life into him. He was made in the likeness of God, and so our new creature, our new person, is also made in the likeness of God, which makes sense of why we are clothed with Christ. We've put on Christ. The new man we've put on looks like Christ. It's a new person. It's a character of Christ. But the Spirit, that happened when the Spirit entered. That happened when the Holy Spirit came to live within us. We were dead until the Spirit came, until the Spirit entered into us. That's what he says there. If we don't, we are either of the flesh or of the Spirit. But we're not of the flesh because we have the Spirit of God in us. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ in us, then we don't belong to him. Then we're of the flesh. But since we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, we have come to life. And so that's when that new creation, just as Adam, when he was physically created, when he came to life was when the Spirit was breathed into him. The new creature doesn't come to life until the Spirit of God indwells us. The old self is crucified, and the new self, which looks like Christ, which comes from above because we're born from above, and we are citizens of heaven, has come from above that looks like Christ. He breathes into us the Spirit, which makes us alive spiritually. Not physically, because we're, you know, still physically here, but it's spiritually coming to life. And so when we look in Ephesians 4, four again, verse 24, so that renewing in verse 23, I guess, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, put on, so that feeding of the new man, if you will. Put on the new man, or be clothed with the new man, which came down from God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And we're going to look a lot more in depth of righteousness and holiness of truth next week. But the idea there is that, again, some of those pictures that maybe don't quite get seen or get noticed, if we just read by it, is that we are clothing, and this is how we can kind of, we're tying other parts of Scripture into that, because if it doesn't make sense, if there's the contradiction, which does happen with false teaching, if contradiction happens, then it's false teaching. But if it fits together, which it does fit together, with being clothed with Christ, with being born from above, which consists of being born of water and the Spirit, which consists of being immersed into Christ, which consists of having an obedient heart, which is repenting, which is changing, which is looking to see what God, being obedient to God, so that we can be created. And this will kind of, we're going to kind of not get the whole picture this week, because that's what righteousness actually is. See, righteousness, just to give you a little taste of next week, righteousness is not something that we do, a deed that we do, just to do it physically. That's not what righteousness is. Yes, it consists of things maybe we do physically, if you want to look at it that way. But righteousness originates, it doesn't originate from stuff that, well, I'm praying. That's I'm not saying that's righteous, but why is it righteous? Is it because we just do it because that's what we do? Or is it something else first that has to happen that makes that righteousness? Okay, it's kind of like coming to assembly, if you will. It's not something that we're doing because, well, it's just something to do. It's something that is derived from something else because we desire to be at assembly because of the faith that we have in Christ first, and we're doing those things. Okay, so righteousness is not the physical act of doing something, because a lot of people go to assembly, a lot of people pray, a lot of people read their Bible. The Pharisees did a lot of that. And they didn't have, their righteousness wasn't going to grant them entrance into the kingdom of God. That righteousness that they had was shallow, and it didn't amount to anything. And so righteousness is not something that we do, a physical act that we do out of duty. Righteousness is a physical, is something that comes first that produces the physical actions. Okay? And so that's what we'll talk a little bit more in depth next week, but just to kind of summarize of today, is that that new self, or that new person, or the new man, is put on, and that constant feeding, that consciousness of us feeding the old man or the new man, we feed one or the other. And whatever one we feed is the one who lives. And so the other, whatever one we feed is the one who gets energy, and whatever one we feed is the one who wins the race. And whatever one who wins the race is where we determine whether we want, where we spend eternity. And so there's that renewing of the mind, putting on the new self, which comes from above, from God, created in righteousness and holiness of truth, is that picture that I think we need to have, is that we're actually born from above. We're not born physically. We are born physically, but we're not born physically a second time. That's what he's talking about, is being born from above. Anybody have any comments or anything?
One day we're a lot different person than we were. We are different because we have a different attitude, but it isn't that some people might not be able to see all of it yet. You know?
Right.
So, but it's a process. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to understand that sometimes I think we have the idea that being born again, we're just now we're there.
Right.
Now we're and I think it's a process as we go along. I mean, we're there, but process of becoming perfect is a process we have to go through.
And that's why a lot of the religious world, whether they say it or not, have to be a Calvinist, because they're instantly, in their mind, instantly changed, and that's all they can do. They can't do anything about it. It's only Jesus that does it, you know. And so really, they, even if they don't say that they are, they actually, that's what they're really saying, because we can't accomplish anything, even though we are supposed to accomplish it. But that's how the mindset that they have is that the born again happens and that's it, you know. And so that's why there's no growth. That's why there's nothing past that. Okay, so the born again, the born again in 1 Peter 1 does use the word born, the term born again, twice, and that word is actually translated right, being born again. But it's kind of like what. Baptized is, you know, people understand what baptized is to a certain extent, but maybe we're missing a little bit of the meaning if we'd only talk about, if we use the word baptized and don't clarify it to being immersed, you know. Yeah, okay, being born again is something that is true and it's a biblical statement, but maybe we're missing something when we just have the term born again, all like that word translated, even though it does fit with 1 Peter 1, that's true, but maybe we're missing something if we don't translate this word correctly, you know, as in maybe it's born from above, actually, or maybe put on the new man, which comes from above, you know, and so that all ties together of that when we look at it, when we actually look at maybe a few things differently that way. And again, it's not that, like in Ephesians 4 here, when it says, which is in the likeness of God, it's not that idea is a bad idea, because Colossians does bring that out. But Paul here isn't saying that. He's saying a little bit different, which is very common in the scripture. When you have the Gospels, it might say, have a little bit different piece of information that we get the whole picture. And see, what people try to do is they try to make, I mean, the Bible doesn't contradict, but in trying to make the Bible not contradict through the translations, they're missing what the Bible is actually trying to say. Because the Bible is not contradicting itself here when it's saying that we come down from above, that the new man comes from above, which makes sense because it's made in the likeness of God and we're created in him in that same likeness, which is the character, you know, there. But we miss a few things if we maybe don't translate stuff exactly right all the time. But anybody have any other comments there? Okay, so we're going to talk a little more in depth on righteousness and holiness and truth next week.